Blog Talk Radio.
Matthew 5 and 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Most High.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Get your heart cleaned up.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Well, that was beautiful, Iman.
We are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation. Hallelujah. And we welcome you once again to the Hebrew Israelite Elders Show. Hallelujah. I am Elder Yaliah, and we have Ema Ahaya with us tonight. Praise the Most High.
Shalom, shalom.
Praise the Most High. Hallelujah. We are very excited, and we always take this privilege as an honor to come before Yahuwah's people. Hallelujah. That's pretty much the first thing we say in our prayer, that we're humbled, and we take this as an honor to come before him. So we just want to let the Most High have his way tonight. We have a message that we're very excited about. Well, take that back. It's not our message. It's Yahuwah's message. Hallelujah. And we're just going to try to be good vessels can use and get this message conveyed to those who have an ear to hear. Praise the Most High. Hallelujah. What are we talking about tonight? What are we talking about? Well, let's go back 1 week because we're basically talking similar principles, the same principle, but we're just going in a different direction. Hallelujah. Last week, we were talking about preparations for the wilderness. Hallelujah. That was part one, preparations for the wilderness. And what was the main focal point? Well, it's repentance. And that's what we stuck on. We meant to move forward a little bit, but the Most High just let us stay on repentance. And I'm glad he did, because build on top of that foundation tonight. Repentance, I'm glad we didn't move ahead and start getting into what we're getting into tonight. Glad we didn't do that last week, because repentance is fundamental. It's you can't go any further. If you don't repent and make it right with the Most High, you can't move forward. So repentance is the cornerstone. Repentance is foundational to this kingdom walk. If your goal is the ultimate goal, is to make it into the kingdom, you have to start somewhere. And they asked Kepha. Kepha had a crowd of over 3,000 people, 3,000 men, and he preached a sermon. This was right after the Ruach HaKodesh fell. And the people were convicted right then and there. And do you know, they asked him a question. They said, men and brethren, what can we do to be saved? Peter didn't waste any time. He said, repent. That was the first thing that the Most High let come out of his mouth. Now, remember, he was full of the Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, the baptism of the Ruach just had failed. Fresh. I mean, he was on fire. All of the men, they were on fire. And what is the first word that came out of his mouth? He said, repent. Hallelujah. That's how fundamental repentance is. You don't, studying the word, fast praying, and all of those fellowship, good fellowship, being under good ministry, all of that is important, but you have to start somewhere, and that there is a cornerstone, and that's repentance. And that's what we have too little of today. You know, places like churches, places like a lot of, I don't want to just pick on churches, you know, you could have a whole message of talking about what's going wrong in the churches. But those of you who are in this awakening, some of you may have stumbled into the wrong assembly and may have gotten mixed up with some folks who are doing everything else except repenting. So it doesn't, repentance doesn't come with the subtitle, whether you're, in the Hebrew Israelite community, whether you're in Christianity, whatever, repenting is repenting. That means repenting of your sin, repenting of the old man, how the old man, old woman lived. And you turn from your sin, you turn from darkness to light, you turn from wickedness to righteousness, you turn from HaShaitan to Yahuwah. Hallelujah. So that's what we talked about last night. That was the foundation stone. And remember before that, Ema Ahaya did so beautifully. She told us about preparation, and that was actually the first message in preparation, even though we listed last week as part one. Well, you would have to say then the forerunner, the precursor to all of these messages was Ema's message about preparation, and that's prepping for your physical needs. Now we did some spiritual needs too, but we were talking about prepping for your spiritual needs, your physical vessel, That means your food, your water, your shelter, how you're going to store and make sure you're prepared, just like Joseph was given the revelation how he can store up grain for 7 years of plenty, and how that 7 years of plenty would take them on to survive the 7 years of famine. So Ema gave you all some good principles. We played some good clips of videos that I was very excited about. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I subscribed to one of those women there. I forgot her name right now, but I subscribed to her. She was the one that was canning the turkey. Hallelujah. Canning the turkey and the sauce and everything. Hallelujah. So we got you on the physical preparation. Now, what are we going to talk about now? Well, we're going to move over to the spiritual side. This is part two of Preparations for the Wilderness, and the title is Spiritual Immunity. That is our focus for tonight. Spiritual immunity. Now, if you look at those demonic news networks, I'm going to call them out, CNN, Fox, MSNBC. I know there's some others, but those are the big three. That's what I think most people look at, people who care to look at that garbage. You'll see these so-called experts and these doctors and everybody there. They're coming on every day. You can't miss them. They're on 24 hours a day. That's hard to miss when you're on 24 hours a day. Just turn it on and one of them will be on one of those networks, and they'll be talking about this plandemic. Now, they're talking about building up your physical immunity. But they don't even have that right, because they're telling you to take some, the way to do that is to take some poison into your body, your temple, that's where the Most High dwells, your body. They want you to pollute and defile your body, just like the people were defiled back in the days of Genesis 6. Check out that message, a series of messages called proliferation of the hybrids. You know what we're talking about? The earth was overran with these hybrids. And that's pretty much what they're trying to do today. Yes, same substance is in the so-called jab. We're not holding our tongue. We're not pulling any punches. We're just going to tell you straight up like it is. If you want that jab, just know that jab, if you were human before, you're going to be human plus now. So that's not the way to build up your physical immunity. Like I said, they have that wrong. The way to build up your spiritual immunity is to do the things that the Most High gave you, the common sense. Eat right. Make sure you're getting your vegetables, your fruits, your grains, your nuts, your seeds. Make sure you're drinking good, pure water. Try to keep your body pH balance right. Make sure it's more alkaline than acidic. Make sure you're getting good exercise. And make sure you're getting good sunshine, at least when the sun is out. And there's nothing wrong with supplementing, especially in the winter months when, you know, we don't get a lot of vitamin D from the sun, at least in some parts of the country here. I know where Ema, well, some of you are blessed. You get the vitamin D all year round. But others of us, you know, may have to use supplements at least during the winter months. Get your vitamins, your minerals, and get enough sleep. Yes, get enough sleep. Sometimes I'm guilty of that. I'm trying to get like the old folks was, the real old folks who used to go to bed early and get up early. Sometimes I go to bed too late. Don't like that about myself. We're trying to fix that, my wife and I. So, get a good amount of sleep, and you'll get so much accomplished more in the day if you went to bed early and wake up early. Hallelujah. Trust me, I know that from experience. Hallelujah. So those are the way to build up your physical immunity, and they're not telling you that right. They're trying to act like if you get a shot of some poison, that will keep you healthy. I've never heard of such foolishness. But we're going to go on the other side of the fence. We're going to talk about spiritual immunity. You see, you can be as healthy as you can be physically. I mean, you can eat, try to eat the best you can, get a good amount of sleep, you know, good, clean living, not out abusing your temple and everything. But if you don't have the spiritual side right, what does it avail? It doesn't avail much because you're imbalanced. You're putting all the focus on the physical, and it's good to keep up your temple. You're supposed to keep up your temple, but you're not putting the same amount of energy on the spirit. And you know, after all, it's the spirit. It's the spirit side of us that's eternal. No matter how much we try to take care of our physical, it's temporal. At best, it's temporal. But the spirit is eternal. So that's where you should invest most of your time and effort and energy. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to talk about, spiritual immunity, because make no mistake about it, what's going on in this day and time, what they're focusing on in the news cycle and everything, it's all spiritual. It's demonic witchcraft. It's demonic attack. That's all spiritual sorcery. And you need to be in the spirit to detect it, to discern it, what's going on. Because some people don't, they're so in the dark, they just believe everything that's coming from these devil's mouths over there. So you got to be in the spirit to discern spiritual things. And you have to have the Most High Spirit, your Ruach Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to navigate through this wicked time, to be able to navigate through this thick, wicked, dark deception that's going on in the world. A spell, a heavy demonic spell has been cast upon the world. That's why the people are divided. That's why those who are jabbed are against those who are unjabbed. And so they basically divided the world up, these demons. And so if we're going to navigate successfully through this period of time, you have to build up your spiritual side. You got to build up your spiritual side, you know. We'll talk about later, you know, the contrast between the natural and the physical. I said a little bit about the natural already, your vitamins, you know, what do you take? Vitamin D, vitamin C, your zinc, you know, and then make sure you eat your fruits and vegetables and all that, sleep and all. Well, there's things you got to do spiritually to build up your spiritual immunity. Now, where are we trying to get when we're building up our spiritual immunity? Where are we trying to? Well, I'll give you a clue because I'm going to bring Ima Haya up. She has some things to offer here. One place we're trying to get to is you have all came across this many times, and it's so beautiful and it's so powerful. Did you know Yahuwah left us an insurance policy, and it's way better and more secure than Allstate, State Farm, AAA, Geico, any of these big New York Life, any of these big insurance companies. He gave his people, his set apart people, the ones who walk in spirit and in truth, he left them an insurance policy against all of this demonic attack. And it's found in Psalms 91. Yes, well, we're definitely going to touch on that. We're going to read that. We're going to break it down. And that's going to be one of the cornerstones. That's our goal, to be under that banner, you know, to be signed up to that policy. Just like some of us are signed up to Allstate, you know, State Farm. You're signed up and you think you're with a good company, and some of them are, at least, you know, some of them will do what they say they're going to do. You get into an accident, file a claim, and they'll get you a new vehicle, maybe get you a rental car. Or they'll fix your vehicle, maybe give you a rental car while you're waiting. Okay, they're just doing what they said they're going to do, what the terms of their policy say they're going to do. Well, Yahuwah is going to do everything that the policy says it's going to do. The terms are written out. Terms and conditions are written out through the verses, starting at verse 1 all the way down. So he's going to do all, and you cannot be under better policy in this dark hour that we're going through with this so-called plandemic, and that they're just scratching the surface now. In the world, it's not going to get better. It's going to get darker and darker. It's going to get worse. So we're going to talk about how to build up our spiritual immune system. But before that, we're going to bring up Ima Hyatt and let her bless us. Come on up, Ima, and talk to the folks.
All right. Toda, Elder, Toda. Now, as we look forward to Yahushua coming back for his people, let's go to a scripture that lets us know that this is what we need to do. One of the preparations is meditation. So let's go to, let's see, what is that? Psalms chapter 1, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Again, I say, Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of Yahuwah, and in his law does he meditate day and night. See, a lot of us don't have a lot of time for that. That's why so many people are listening to different shows, because that gets them into pointing towards doing what they need to do as much as they can. So as much as you can, we know that Satan is keeping us busy working for him a lot of times, keeping us busy, but we have to slow down and do some meditating on Yah day and night. So we need to be reading our scriptures. We need to be trying to do some things that we know Yah needs us to do so we can be in communication with him. Okay, so the second thing is John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25, is Yahusha said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Okay, so if we go to sleep in Yahusha, we will still be alive, because when he comes back for his people, he will awaken us to life again. Even though we had been passed away, he will wake us back up. Hallelujah. Isn't that something right there to look forward to? Let's look forward to that. We have to believe it. We have to believe in him. And that is the key. We have to, and we need to know what we believe. That's why we should stay on the word of Yah. And that will get us through. The other verse we want to go to and take a good look at is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. These are all King James versions that I'm reading. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but thou shalt meditate. There you go again, that word meditate. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, the written word. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So he's saying, if you meditate on Yah and concentrate on doing what he told you you need to do, is asking you to do for yourself and for him, then you're going to be prosperous. Then you're going to have success. Because what those rules are in the commandments of Yah, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You see, if you don't do all of those crazy things, don't lay with your neighbor's wife, you know, don't take anything that belongs to your neighbor.
That's
those
right.
Those kind of things. Don't lie. Don't kill. Don't steal. And all the other don'ts, then you will have a good, successful life. And that's what we want. We want to be successful enough to take care of ourselves and our families. We don't have to depend on Satan to take care of us. That we need for the that I will give that out later in the program. We need to concentrate on those kind of things, okay? Now, speaking of meditation, let's go to Psalm verse 12. Psalms chapter 77, verse 12. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Okay, so we want to, here we go again, meditate within ourselves. Meditate and speak about the work of Yah and speak about what he did. He did some things to us to bring us under concentration, to concentrate on ourselves, concentrate on our families, and concentrate on him. Because Yah needs your concentration. He needs it. He needs you to have it. He needs you to meditate on all of his word. Not just a little piece of his word, but all of his word. We will meditate, it says in Psalm 119, verse 15, Psalm 119, verse 15, that in his precepts, I will meditate in his precepts and have respect unto what? His ways. Okay? That is what we have to do. We have to agree with him. Okay? That's really what it's about. We have to see it, agree with it, and do it. Not just, oh, I read it in the scriptures, thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that, and I just don't know what else I'm going to do it myself because it's all this stuff I can't do. No, it's not that. Look at what you can do according to Yah's word, what you should be doing, what you can do. Don't meditate on the negative. Meditate
That's right.
on the positive, because Yah tells us what to do to keep us from doing things that will take us down. Those lies will take
mm-hmm.
you down. Those hanging out with somebody else's wife will take you down.
Hallelujah.
Those kind of things that are in Ten Commandments, if you don't obey them, you're going to be taking yourself down. That's all it is to
yeah.
it. Now, here we go again with something that Elder was talking about to me, and that is the prayer and fasting. It says, let's go to Mark 9, verse 29. That's the most important thing to remember, the prayer and the fasting. Mark 9, verse 29. It says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Okay, that means nothing was going to happen good for him unless he did some prayer and fasting.
Hallelujah.
You got to keep that in mind. Yeah, you got to empty yourself so that Yah can come in. You need to empty yourself, especially if you haven't done it at all. Start doing some. The prayer and fasting, that's what we need.
Hallelujah.
And let's see. I was looking at that prayer and fasting. And let's go down to Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21 tells us, howbeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. Okay, this kind of meaning that kind of person, okay? How be it that this kind of person goes out but by prayer and fasting? That's the only way he goes out. We need to be able to step out on prayer and fasting. Y'all will show us something during those times. He will give us something that we didn't expect to get. And it's like, wow. Y'all spoke to, do y'all understand, family, that Yah will speak to you himself, and you will know it.
Hallelujah.
He speaks to us, not just at prayer and fasting times, but anytime. He could be speaking to you, and you need to stop and listen. Stop and listen.
That's right.
Because it's very important. If he's talking to you, it's very important. That means you are getting near to him. You're getting close. You're close to him when he does that for you. Everybody's not built the same way, but Yah picks his time for you to know that he is with you. He is speaking to you himself. And that is beautiful. It's just a beautiful feeling that Yah spoke something to you in your mind. You saw it and you said, wow, did I just understand that? I need to do that.
Yeah.
I need to watch myself. I need to make a different kind of step than that step that I was planning on making. Yes, he will do it for you. And let's go down here to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Says, defraud ye not one to another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. Okay? You know, people, so many people don't realize that they're so inconsistent. Also, so we have to fast and pray to be consistent, fast and pray to be a person that's leading out our life in Yahuwah. We have to be fasting and praying to come together. We have to be fasting and praying to consent to that time that we need to give ourselves to fast and pray. We don't need to give all our time to everybody else and don't have time for Yah. Don't take time for him. So that's a mistake that we don't want to make. So that is what we get. This is why we need to read our scriptures so that we can see what Yah wants us to see from his word, not what everybody else is talking about, not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying these are things that I see, things you can see also. All you got to do is pick that book up, and he will show you where to read, even if you don't know where to start that day. Or you can just look up some words, and that will give you a way in which you should go. So these are the different tools that we use in order to be part of Yah's kingdom, part of Yah's family. And because his family is a praying family, his family is a righteous family, his family is a fasting family. All of us in here should fast once in a while, if nothing else. We don't have to fast every day because you might, you know, might not make it like Yahushua did right now, but we need to slow down, ask him what should we do, talk to the Father as though he's your friend because he is. We talk to him through who? Yahushua. Yahusha, Yahusha. See, different ways of saying it, so let's get two or three O's out there. But we need to be in peace with and friends with our brother, Yahusha, because that's very important, because he told us to go through him to get to Yahuwah. So we need to be praying and seeking out Yahuwah through Yahusha. We need to do that. And one more that I want to bring up is Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. It's simple as that. I just look up information in my scriptures and remind myself, because I've read this Bible two or three times from the beginning to the end, and so I know it's in there. And you know what? If you read it enough, when you need it, Yah will give it to you. It'll be in your mind. He will give it to you. He will give you what to say. He will give you what to do. He justifies you through his word. He will tell you what to say.
Hallelujah.
And you'll say to yourself, wow, I just said that. I didn't even remember that, but I said it. And there it is. You know, it's like a pot of gold that you're sitting on. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So that's like 44 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served Yahuwah with fastings and prayers night, because that's what he gave her to do, you see. And she appreciated her position in life, that's what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to remember. I can't be just like Elder Eliah. He can't be just like Elder Yael. I can't be like either one of them. But I can contribute to what Yah is giving us to do, because that's what he's giving me to do. And so these are things we have to remember. I can't be jealous of somebody because they're doing something that I think is pretty cool. I like what they're doing. But see, that's not for me to do.
Hallelujah.
It's just for me to do what Yah needs me to do. Right now is one of those kind of times. So we have to follow Yah. We have to follow what he needs us to do. Shall I say, the set apart ones, his chosen ones, is for us to do what he needs us to do, not for us to go run around and saying, you know what, I think I want to do some sermon. Okay. And then you're
That's
unsuccessful
right.
because you're not doing what Yah needs you to do. You see, he might need you to do something on a personal level first and go from there. You see?
Yeah.
He might need you to do something within the family of Yah first before you go running out doing something on your own. And he has not ordained
right.
it for you to do. So this is why we talk about these kind of things, so that we can continue to concentrate on Yah and his purpose for us. There are so many things going on in this world right now with the craziness of Biden up there. Even the judges, the Supreme Courts, have put down what he wants to do. They have knocked him on the head and said, look, you're going too far. You're overboard. We can't let you do the mandate, and we can't let you do giving away money left and right, and you know you don't have any. We can't let you do that. And the Fauci's continuously lying through their teeth. I mean, what else do they want? And some people want to get out there and buy a person, and y'all know who it is, probably. A person wants to buy up all the food growing lands that they possibly can, and they now own most of them. They want to grow the food any kind of way they want to grow it and send it to the stores, you see. And you're buying stuff that's been GMO'd, and if it's not GMO'd, I'm sure he's going to have both sessions, you know. If it's not GMO'd, it's going to be super expensive. Only the rich people will be able to buy it. So this is why we have said that you need to grow. Be prepared. Start preparing, because food growing time is coming. you need to go ahead and grow your own food. And if you're in warmer climates where it doesn't get snow or anything like that, go ahead and grow some little trees, like lemon trees. Little lemon trees grow pretty well. So get you some greens growing. If you can't do nothing but grow them in pots, grow some food for yourselves. You don't have to have two or three, four, five, 10 acres. Just grow food for yourself, because you don't know when things are going to crash down. And you need to be ready to do something for yourself for at least 6 months or more. So when the time comes, you should have everything put together and start canning, start growing. Don't freeze it. That's why we're saying canning, because you don't have to worry about it. If the refrigerators go off and things of that nature, you won't have to worry, because you'll have your stuff in jars and in cans. So get canned food, get jarred food, get whatever food you can get, pull it together. Put it under your mattress. Put it inside the house, or stack it up in there in the kitchen, in the dining room, something. Get purification tablets for water, things of that nature. Get you some big canisters, cans, to let it rain into, so that you can then put a lid on it and put some purification tablets in there when you need to. Things of that nature. We have to plan to take care of ourselves, because these other people, they especially not going to want to take care of us unless we vote. Unless it's voting time, they might do a little something for you.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're just going to be out there. Like I tell my children, you're just going to be out there if you don't get it together. Mom, I understood what you said. I didn't believe it, but now we see you and Dad. Y'all told us the right thing. Y'all told us these things were going to be happening. That's right. It's just real. And you need to get real. And so that's all I'm going to say at the moment. I know Elba has plenty that he wants to bring up. And when he runs out of stuff to talk about, I'll be back again after he finishes. So just relax and let's do this show.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Ima. Good wisdom. Good words of wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Most High. Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest here. I was going to recount the dream that I had. Now, I know most of it, but my Ima, I mean, my Isha, she wrote down, she wrote it down step for step, everything. And, man, I'm going to take that one on the chin. That's not her fault. She wrote that. That was my fault. She said she gave it to me, and I misplaced it. So I really wanted to recall that dream right here on the show, because it was very vivid. And of course, I remember very clear, but I don't want to leave something important out. And it has to do with this subject, the spiritual wilderness. Hallelujah. But we're talking about spiritual immunity. She's looking for it right now. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm putting it up to the Most High. If he wants me to say it, let's just say we'll find it and tonight. And if he doesn't want me to go ahead and recall the dream, we have enough things to talk about as is. So that's where we at now. That's why I was a little bit, taken aback. I said, my goodness, why couldn't I find that? But here we go. Matter of fact, I forgot to get the foundational scripture reading tonight. My mind was so much on that. So let's give the foundational scripture reading for the subject tonight. Hallelujah. And we're talking about spiritual immunity. And what does immunity entail? Immunity entails building yourself up. You know, we're talking about our body, building our bodies up, our temples, that will be healthy and strong so we can fight off diseases, sicknesses, and the like. Well, spiritual immunity. We're talking about the same thing, except we're talking about building our spirit man up, so we'll be able to fight off slits and arrows and all kind of darts. You know, that scripture refers to them as the fiery darts of the wicked. We'll be able to ward off all of those fiery darts, all the demonic attacks, all the spiritual weakness in high places coming at you. So we got to build up our spiritual immune system. Our foundational scripture is found in Jude. Jude just has one chapter, and so Jude 1, verse 20. It's a little short scripture. Hallelujah. My dear Isha found the paper. Hallelujah. So the Most High must have wanted us to say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna recall the dream a little later. I'm gonna read it. But our foundational scripture is found in Jude 1 and 20. Reading from the KJV. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves." Okay, so before you try to help anybody else, that's good. We witness, we share the truth with others. Beautiful. We were commissioned to do that. But don't leave out yourself. Build yourselves up. It says, "Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Set apart faith, we know that means. On your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Ruach HaKodesh. We know the old King James say the Holy Ghost. We're praying in the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. Now, listen, I'm not going to get into all that, what all that entails. I know you come out of a Pentecostal foundation like I did, talking about praying in tongues, okay? Some people came out of a Baptist or Methodist, said, no, that's not talking about tongues. Praying in the Spirit. I'll tell you what keeps you safe. I wouldn't even argue that point. But we're talking about a fervent, heartfelt prayer. And you can look at praying in the Spirit in this way, too, and you can't go wrong. What did your Usha say? He said, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit." He said, "They are spirit." He said, "The words." So Yah's words are spirit. He said, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So if you're praying in the Spirit, what can be a stronger prayer than to pray back Yahuwah's word to him? Hallelujah. He doesn't mind that at all. That's how you know you're not praying amiss. That's a scripture we're going to go over in James. Some of us could pray amiss, and we wonder, why isn't the Most High answering our prayers? Well, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. You know, we got to examine ourselves to see if we are actually in the truth. See if we're actually praying his will. Because he says, if we pray his will, we can be confident that he will do two things. He will hear our prayer and he will answer our prayer. I'm going to go that right now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything," asking, that's prayer, "if we request anything according to his will," according to his will. So don't pray amiss now. Don't pray, you know, on your lust and things that you desire, your greed. He said, "If we ask anything according to his will," what? "He heareth us." That's promise number one. Now go to verse 15. It says, "And if we know that he heareth us, we know." That means we're certain of. We know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Petition is just a definite, specific know. You could be certain of that you will have the petition that you desired of him if you're not praying amiss, if you're praying according to his will. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Just recapping, our goal is to be spiritually immune, built up. It's unlike physical, which builds up your biological immune system to the point where your body is able to stay healthy, fight off infections, illnesses, and pathogens, pathogens like bacteria, viruses, and other microorganisms that can cause disease. That's fine, building up your physical. Nothing wrong with that. That's required of you. Most High wants you to take care of your temple. Matter of fact, he talks against defiling your temple. So you shouldn't put things like tobacco and drugs, you know, even alcohol abuse, bad foods into your body, because what's the ramifications down the line? You're going to have some type of health consequence down the line. Yeah, you might be feeling good now, but keep living. Years. Maybe even to somebody real young, maybe it might take a decade, but you will suffer the ramifications of defiling your temple. Keep your temple up. Put healthy things into it. Live a healthy lifestyle. Hallelujah. Build up your physical immune system. But what are we talking about spiritual? Spiritual immunity. It involves building up your inner man or inner woman, your inner person. How do you do that? With your relationship with the Most High, Yahuwah. Build it up to the point you are so strong spiritually, you're fortified spiritually to the point that you're able to ward off all of the attacks from HaShaitan and his minions, his demonic kingdom, his princes, his principalities, his minions. He has, Yahuwah has his heavenly host. Satan has heavenly hosts. Of course, it's not nothing compared to Yahuwah's, but Satan is organized. He has a kingdom. Just ask Daniel when he prayed, and Daniel had to wait 21 days. And then the angel came down and said, from the first day you prayed, 21 days ago, we heard your prayer, but I was withheld by the Prince of Persia. That's a demonic principality, one of the high-ranking demons. And I believe Michael, the archangel, had to come and fight and free him from that demonic prince. And then the angel, hope I'm telling it right, I'm going off the top of my head here, Gabriel was able to deliver the message to Daniel. But he said, we heard your prayer was actually answered from the first day, and I was coming to deliver the message to you. Look how powerful those principalities are. They withstood one of the powerful Maleks like Gabriel. Now, what do you think they can do to us? Remember, Scripture says Yahuwah created us a little lower than the angels, a little lower than the Malachim. So, yeah, we'll be crowned with esteem, with majesty later. But right now, Yahuwah says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we still have to deal with this flesh body. And all of its urges and impulses and the things that can sway it. So what do you think we can do against demonic principalities if we're not, like Ima said, in Yahusha, if we're not locked in, if we're not in right standing with the Most High, standing involved in our walk, our prayer life, you prayed up, you fasted up, and you're studying to show yourself approved. See, the Bible says we can fall, we can stumble, we can fall for lack of knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we can't be spiritually lazy. No, we're supposed to study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved to the Most High, a workman that needed not be ashamed. Oh, you're going to be ashamed if you out there and you're not studied up. Oh, trust me, you might hide it for a while, but it's going to come out. You're going to be exposed. You're going to either be exposed by these demonic principalities. You're going to be exposed in your walk. Some people may be depending on you, need you to give them a word of counsel and everything, and you're not studied up enough to give them a word in season. Oh, You think the Most High is smiling down on you at that moment? He said be instant in season, out of season. So how are you going to be instant in season, out of season if you're not studied up? Now, each person, you know, all of us have different varying degrees of time that we can allocate towards studying and, you know, devotion time with the Most High. Some of us are retired. Some of us are working full-time. Some of us are working overtime. I mean, some of us have small children. Some of us don't have any children at all. So we're all in different stages of life. But the time that the Most High has blessed you with, the time that he's given you to allocate towards seeking him, building yourself up, like we're talking about, building up your spiritual immunity, you have to delegate that time. You have to make the best use of that time. What does Scripture say about time itself? It says, redeeming the time for the days of evil. The days are evil. We have to redeem the time as wise, not as foolish. So he wants us to redeem the time in a wise manner. So no matter what your stage is in life, you do have time to get in the Word and study. And the rule, you're not studying by yourself. His Spirit will help you. His Spirit will help you. He will show you things to come. It says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Okay, so when you're reading the Word, if you're filled with the Ruach, that's not like lesson or some academic course of study where it may be boring to you and it may be something you're not interested in. You're just trying to get through it to get a grade. No, the Word of the Most High to the believer shouldn't be like that at all, because to the believer, the Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That means it's alive and active. If something's alive and active, it's exciting, it's vibrant. It's not boring. So your devotion time with the Most High is not a boring thing. Now, if you find it is, you better go back and do what Shaul said. Shaul says, let a man examine himself to see whether he is really in the faith, to see if he is really in this walk. Oh, you got to do some introspection. So now your spiritual immunity involves building up your inner man. As we were saying, to the point where you are so strong spiritually that you're able to ward off the attacks from Satan and his minions, be it sicknesses, financial matters, marital, witchcraft, etc. You get the picture. We have to be built up. What if you're just out and about, you know, it's cold outside, it's winter, and you're out in your tank top T-shirt, it's raining, and you're playing basketball, not in the gym, you're just out on the playground. Temperature's steadily dropping, rain's coming down harder, and you're just out there sweating away and playing, you know, game after game. And people say, man, you want to put on this shirt? You want to put on this hoodie? You say, no, I don't play good with that on. I need my freedom. So you're out there playing, and you done played about 2 hours, sweating like crazy. In the rain, temperature done dropped to about 40 degrees, maybe even the low 30s. Finally, after the sun went down, finally, you know, those who have a little sense say, man, I'm not playing no more, it's over. You probably would have played all night. But here you are, coming in the house, sitting down, and start coughing, you know. Then that night, in the middle of that night, you wake up and you could hardly breathe. You're all clogged up and everything. Now, look at some of the things you did. You're out there in the elements. You wasn't dressed right for the elements. Matter of fact, in that kind of weather, in that season in winter, if you're going to play at all, you should have played indoors in a gym. And when you came outdoors, you should make sure you were wrapped up good, got a warm vehicle ready to transport you to your house. But you out there just, you know, throwing caution to the wind. Okay, so you set yourself up. And, by the way, you hadn't been eating good. You know, you've been eating cheeseburgers, fries, strawberry shakes, you know, sodas, which is basically just cups of sugar. So here you are, haven't been eating good. Your body's just waiting for something to attack you. I mean, it's not a laughing matter, but your body is just waiting for it. You haven't been eating good. Prayer life is really not been up. You don't dress right for the element. So who knows? Maybe somebody you was playing with, they had, you know, something contagious, a cold or flu or something. They're coughing on you, spitting on you, everything. Here you are, come down with something. Now, your body was in a weakened state. So it was susceptible to these pathogens, be it the flu, this corona thing they got out now, or whatever. Even be it a common cold. Is there still a common cold? I don't know. Since this pandemic, I think the common cold vanished. But let's just say
disappeared.
Yeah, for old time's sake, let's just say the cold when the pre-2020 days, the common cold was still around. But you caught something bad. Your immune system was weakened, and it was in a very vulnerable state. You didn't build it up. So you might stay sick for 2 weeks, maybe longer, because your body was not healthy to start with. It was just a bad thing waiting to happen. Well, the same thing spiritually. If you live in your life, you call yourself a child of the Most High, but you're living your life, you hardly never pray. If you do call yourself praying, you're trying to squeeze the Most High into your little 5 minutes, the time that you don't have the radio on in your car, on your way to work, you're running late, so you might try to say a 30-second prayer. That's your prayer life every day. 30-second prayer on your way to work. You don't fast. You don't push away a plate, even one meal. You know, you don't have to fast 24 hours. You can fast a first meal, fast lunch, you can fast your last meal, but you don't fast at all. Matter of fact, you're gluttony. You're overeating. Okay? You don't spend much time with the Most High in devotion, and you definitely don't study His Word. You're always calling people up. What's that scripture that said this? What's that scripture that says I can do all things through somebody? You know, you're asking people, you know, so you can go back and answer the person who asked you. Somebody asked you for a scripture and you don't know it. You know, they ask you because you tell them you walk with the Most High. You talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk. So here you got to go underhanded and ask somebody else a question and try to get back to them. So you do all these, well, you don't do all these things. And then one of your loved ones come down sick. Or you know, your one of your children get on drugs or something. Or Yah forbid, just, you know, let's just say something horrible. Your daughter or something gets involved with the wrong guy. Or some guy even might want to turn her out on the streets or something, you know. Just something horrible happened where you really need to be in touch with the Most High so you can pray your loved one through this matter. You know, somebody come down gravely ill. Who are they going to call? And if they call on you, are you going to be ready? Let's say they call. We need you to come talk to Sarah. She's on drugs and she's been doing this or that. Some spirit done jumped on her. We need you. We need you, brother. We need you to come on over. You know, anoint her with oil. Are you really going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? It's a instant, in season, out of season. You're not going to be ready. I'll answer that question for you. If anything, you're going to try to call somebody else up and ask them to come with you. And matter of fact, you're going to want them to do all the praying and all the talking because you're not ready. Your spiritual immune system is at a very weakened point. You're not ready to pray nobody through. You're not even, you can't even fast. You can't even give people a scripture in season, a word from the Most High. You don't even study. You see where we're going with this? See, some of us spend so much focus on the natural, and it's nothing wrong with the natural. When we're making the comparison, we're not putting one down, but we're just saying you got to have both. Yah wants you to be whole, spirit, mind, and body. But a lot of us are so much into the flesh, and you know it's true. That's why a lot of us just want to work all the time. I've worked with people when we were making a good salary for 40 hours a week. But some of those people would never go home. If the job would let them, they would pull doubles, they would pull triples, they would pull 3 8-hour shifts. Money, and then they sit back and brag how much they made during the year. Oh, well, I made way over $100. And have no life at the house. Some of them were married. No kind of life at the house. And you wonder why their marriages and other things were off, why they were having extramarital relationships. They weren't building things up. Their life was not balanced. They weren't building up their family life. All about making money. A lot of us are, even those of us, some of us, who call ourselves walking with the Most High, we're unbalanced. We're all into the flesh. You know how you can tell when you start talking about spiritual things? Now, I'm talking about a person who's supposed to be walking the Most High. I'm not talking about a person who's just flat out say, you know, and no, I'm not into that spiritual stuff. You start talking about spiritual things, and they give you this deer in the headlights look. You know they're not there. You know their tank is empty. And this has nothing to do with judging. I know Christians love to say that you can't judge. No, but you could be a fruit inspector and say you'll know them by their fruits. They never have fruit. Never have a word mm-hmm. in season, out of season. Why? Because their tank is empty. Their spiritual immune system is almost like the gas tank. The needle is E. Their needle is pretty much on E. So the things I named could come at them, loved one, their daughter or son. What would have happened if a demon jumped on them? Would they be able to ward off? What would if somebody, because a lot of people are into witchcraft these days, what if somebody don't like them for whatever reason and cast a spell on them? Yah forbid, but what if it happened? They say, oh, I believe in Yah. Now just, I believe in JC. But they don't have the walk to back up the talk. See, a lot of people they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So here's where the rubber meets the road. What are you going to do if somebody, one of these high priests up in the voodoo, you know, black magic, deep black magic, cast a spell on them? Who's going to be your protection? If Psalm 91 is going to apply to you, you might say, yeah. Well, I'm going to show you a little later. Psalms 91 has some conditions to it. Now, it's a beautiful policy. I refer to it as an insurance policy. Yes, it is. It's beautiful. But you're going to see it has some conditions to it. You know, just like if any of you used to do, and I've never been a computer programmer, but I've taken a programming class way back called basic language. I remember they had something called the if-then statement. That reminds me of conditional statements in Yah's word. If you see in the word then in the scriptures, you'll know that means a couple of things. First of all, you know it's conditional. It's a conditional statement, is a conditional promise. It's usually going to be the Most High Yahuwah saying, if you do this, then I will do this. Let me give you an example. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That deals with repentance. That's pretty much all we talked about last week. Foundational. foundational to your spiritual immunity, building up your spiritual immune system. What does what does 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does it start off with? Does it just state that Yahuwah is just going to give us this and this and this and this and this, and we don't have to do nothing? No, it don't. And if you really take the time to look and you really take the time to be honest, a lot of Yahuwah's promises are conditional. Now, I know you hear that, you hear a lot of this stuff in church. Grace, grace, grace. I'm blessed and highly favored. That means you don't have to do nothing. Everything's just coming your way. You don't have to do nothing. You don't even have to live a holy life. You don't have to live a righteous, set-apart life. Oh, I know JC. That's all. He paid it all. But don't you have to live right? Oh, well, if I want to. But if I don't, he still got me covered. I'm sealed to their redemption. Now, that's the demonic teaching that's really been going forward. It's been going forward by these devils, these preachers. And the people believe it. Why? Because they don't have no walk with the Most High. They don't study to show themselves approved. I'm blessed and highly favored. Now, let's go back to basic. The basic thing is repentance. How are you going to be blessed and you haven't even repented? So let's see what even requires for repentance. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If, first word, he didn't say, I'm going to forgive your sins, I'm going to heal your land, I'm going to do this. First word he said is, if. And let's continue it. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, he's naming all these things. First he identified who he's talking to, his people. Whose people made a covenant with? Israel. Oh, the Gentiles can, yeah, they can pray. The friends of Israel, going to be some of them coming into the wilderness. It was a mixed multitude came out of Egypt. This is going to be the second Egypt. I mean, leaving the second Egypt. This is going to be the second Exodus. So he says, if my people who are called by my name, now we're awakened and we use the name, and Ema said some of the names. Okay, on this show, we ain't going to argue about no names. First of all, try to walk right before you get the name right. Do you know he says he's going to restore to us a pure language? I say Yahuwah, and I stand on that. I stand where the knowledge takes me, what he revealed to me. I wake up tomorrow morning, and he showed me a scripture. He said, I want you to go to say, well, his, you know, Yahweh. Some people say Yahuwah, Yahweh, you know. Listen, spend that energy on your walk. I'm not saying a name is not important. Yes, hallelujah. What he's revealed to you, the level you're at in truth, go with it. Look where we were at years ago. Thank the Most High for Acts chapter 17, because he said in the days of our ignorance, he winked at it. Why did he wink at it? When we were sincere. A lot of us called him JC and G-O-D, but we did it out of a sincere heart. That's why he said he forbear. He said in the days of our ignorance. That's our level of knowledge at that time. But look to the ones that he winked at. Those who were seeking him in spirit and in truth, those who sought him from a pure heart. But he says, but now he command all men to repent. So when you know better, you do better. So he said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves, that's one, pray, turn from their wicked ways. He say that biggest one for last. Because he know that's the hardest one people don't want to do. Some of them will humble themselves for a quick minute. They'll even pray for a quick minute. They might, seek his face for a quick minute. But boy, can you get them to turn from their wicked ways. Can you get them to, you know, stop using the drugs if that's what they're into? Stop abusing alcohol if that's what they're into. Stop fornicating. Oh, but now we're getting rid of it. Stop adulterating. I don't know if that's a word. Stop committing adultery. Stop lying. Stop stealing, cheating, gambling, you know. Stop serving other gods. You know, some of you, like I was, more into your football game than the Most High. If you compare the two, the love and passion, if there was an instrument that could measure our affection, our passion, a lot of us wouldn't like that, because it would reveal you have a lot more passion and affection for other things other than the for the Most High. So he said, if you do all those four things, he said, then I will forgive them of their sin. Okay, so he's going to do two things. I'll forgive them of their sins, and I'll heal their land. So look at those things he asked you to go through to forgive you of your sin. Even Kepha, when the people fell into conviction after the day of Pentecost, when they say, men and brethren, what should we do? He gave them conditions. And the first one he says, it's like Yahuwah. Well, he left it for last, but Peter said this first. He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized. He gave them some conditions. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the set-apart spirit. How are you going to defend yourself against spiritual attacks, against witchcraft? I mean, people who are walking in this, who are steeped in this stuff, been doing this for years, maybe decades, they cast a spell against you. And all you've been doing is just working on your job, trying to make as much money as you could, maybe stop at the bars after work, you know, maybe even have a girlfriend on the side. But you're saying, you know, you're with the Most High. And the things that you do with Most High, it's still pretty much for your lust, because you know when you're around the brothers and sisters Most High, you're just talking stuff about your lust. Oh, I think I want a second wife. That's what us brothers need to do. You already cheating on your first one. Ema, we ain't gonna get into that. All right, but how are you going to defend yourself against a spiritual attack? Your immune system is on E. It's on E. You better get it right. Because guess what? If you haven't already been, you're going to be tested. And I've already seen tests. I've already seen believers coming down with this. When I say believer, I'm talking about what's coming out of their mouth. Now, as far as the walk, if the walk is backing up talk, I'm not gonna give them a pass on that one, because the ones I've seen, I can't say that their walk is backing up their talk. But I've seen believers come down with sicknesses. I've seen believers come down with this plandemic thing that's going on. I know some of you getting mad at me right now, because some of you are saying, I'm a believer and I was susceptible to it. Well, look, Apostle Shaul said, let a man examine himself. Don't turn energy on me. Turn it inward. Don't inspect someone else. Do introspection. Turn it on yourself. I'm not bragging at all. But me and my Isham, we've been out and about. We've been traveling. We've been what you would call exposed, and not taking any credit or any praise, but praise be to the Most High. We have been totally immune, totally safe during this pandemic. Wasn't our own doing. Yes, we do try to keep up our bodies. We do try to eat right. We try to live right. We try our best to walk the walk, and we try to keep our prayer life up. And I'm studying the things that will build your spiritual immunity up, and praise be to the Most High. As of right now, I can testify with a clear conscience that not only Aisha and I, but our whole household, no one has came down with this this pandemic disease. Hallelujah. Like I say, I give all the praise and all the esteem to the Most High. I'm going to narrow this down with our goal. Our goal for the spiritual immunity, our goal is to be totally immune, in other words, protected from all spiritual or demonic attack, to be under the protection plan of Psalm 91. Now, there's other promises through Scripture. Psalm 91 is, you know what? It summarizes. It condenses a lot of the promises, like for healing. Of course, you got you got your Deuteronomy scripture about healing. I am, it is I that healeth thee, and he gives conditions there. He say, if you obey my voice and my commandments and everything, give ear to my word. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon you, none of these sicknesses or illnesses that I put upon the Egyptians. He said, for I am, it is I that healeth thee. So there's beautiful promises through the word. Psalms 103 and 3. Bless you, Uah, O my soul, and forget not all of this benefit, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beautiful scripture for healing. James, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the assembly, him, anointing him with the oil, and the prayer of faith will raise him up, the sick up. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them, in addition to the healing. Beautiful scripture, promise for healing. Mm-hmm. But Psalms 91 summarizes, and it brings protection. It brings the added benefit of protection. Just like I asked the theoretical question, what would the person do if he falls under a demonic spell or witchcraft? And he or she hasn't been walking the walk, doesn't have any prayer life with the Most High, doesn't study, their spiritual immunity is on E, what would they do? Well, what would you do if your spiritual immunity is high? Hallelujah. You wouldn't even have to worry about it. You don't have to be looking at your back, worried about your back. You don't have to worry about who's burning candles against you, who's whatever they do, crystals or chants and all this stuff. I don't care if a whole coven of them get together. You know, Scripture says if two or three are gathered together, we're talking about in the righteous way, I am in the midst. So they might have 10 or 12 or 20. It still won't matter. Because when you hear me read it in a little bit, you're going to see it's going to talk about numbers. And it still doesn't have any effect over you. That's where we want to be. We want to be in that place. See, so we can fight off. We can fight off all of these things. We want to be under his protection plan of Psalm 91, Yahuwah's insurance policy, for his set-apart people. That's where we want to be. And we get, now I'm going to start summarizing because of time's sake. We get there through using the tools and resources that he supplied us with. Tools like what? Ema said it earlier. Prayer. Luke 18 and 1. Yahusha said men ought to always pray and not to faint. You know what that always means? To be consistent and to be persistent. Mm-hmm. You got to pray when you don't feel like praying sometimes. You got to be consistent. You got to be persistent. Persistent means you got to persevere. The root word of persevere. That means you keep doing it until it's accomplished. The old folks used to say, you got to pray them through. What's praying through? You pray them till you get the answer. And that's going to involve a lot of times when your body don't feel like praying. Even your mind might not feel like praying. See, but you got to push them things aside. See, so you got to be persistent through prayer. Also, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Pray without ceasing. That means you're not even considering giving up. You got a loved one who fell severely ill. Now, I know the scripture says there's a time and a season for all things. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Okay? But let's say this is not his time to die. This was an attack from the enemy. So this person is going to need the called out one. He's going to need their prayers. They need the prayer of the righteous. I don't got time to debate right now and do the Most High hear a sinner's prayer. He needs the prayer of the righteous. Because one thing I know the scripture does say, it says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It has much power to get much result. So if I'm down for any reason, y'all forbid, in my body or anything, I want the prayer of the righteous. And I want more than one of them. I at least want two or three at least. The more the merrier, as long as they're right, as long as their heart is in the right place with the Most High, I want the righteous praying for me. Because scripture promised, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. See, I can have confidence in that prayer. So we're talking about how to build yourself up, spiritual immunity. You have to pray. And you got to be confident in your prayer. How to be confident in prayer, just what we were saying a little while ago. You got to not just talk the talk. You got to walk this walk. You got to walk it as best you can. You can't go around premeditating sins and thinking, you know, you can say those little magic words, well, JC, forgive me, JC, forgive me, JC, forgive me. No, those games are over. We better be glad we're still alive. We made it to the point of the awakening because I know I've done that. Taught I was ignorant. They're thinking that's my get-out-of-jail-free card. I could just say, well, you know, I could go see this girl, and whenever things are over, I could just say, JC, forgive me. I know it's wrong. No, get me. I wouldn't try that at all with the Most High these days. I don't play with the Most High. It was more to me than him just revealing his name and revealing who we are as a people. The consequences came with that. You better shape up and walk right. I done seen the Most
Hallelujah.
High take people out of here. I done seen him take people out of here who was in this walk, veering off, preaching wrong, teaching wrong, living wrong. I've seen the Most High take people out. I don't want to be one of them.
So that's it.
Perfect,
you know, Elva, I want
to
say this
walk
real
walk.
Quick. I want to say
mm-hmm.
something real quick before it's
yeah.
gone out my head. But y'all revealed
yeah,
to us that when we are praying, our people need to know when we are praying, whether it's praying out loud or praying from our mind, that we are talking to Yahusha. We are not just praying out in the open air to nothing. We are praying to our brother, Yahusha. That's who we're praying to, so that he will reveal what we need to Yah. And that is what people don't understand. It's the power that we have in prayer. And he will answer our prayers. And Satan is allowed to attack us. You see, so sometimes Yah says, okay, you can attack them just like Job, but you cannot touch him. And Job was not in excellent shape at that time. He was gone down and had his family taken from him and his home, his animals, everything that was profitable for him was taken. But he was praying to Yahusha. You see, he was praying to Yahuwah. He was praying to them, see, to give him his peace, you see. And that is what we have to remember. We're talking to somebody, like having a conversation, you see. And when we pray once about something, really, he's already heard it. But if we feel like we want to pray about it a couple more times, then that's all right, too. But he has heard us. Okay, that's all I want to say.
Hallelujah, Ima. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm gonna bring you back up. I'm gonna summarize this here. So we got to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Why? Because that's important. That's where our confidence lies. Hallelujah. If you're talking the talk but not walking the walk, it's gonna lack. Confidence is what? When you like Ima just said. When you pray, your confidence is going to lack. Now, what's the flip side of that? What's the very opposite of that? Your confidence will be high when you know you're being sincere to the Most High. You're walking in sincerity. You're walking in perfection. You're trying to. You're trying. You're walking in sincerity. In other words, you're trying to give it all you got. Okay, 1 John 3:21-22. It says, if our hearts condemn us not, this relates to our confidence. If our hearts condemn us not, that's a condition. If, it started with an if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards the Most High, towards Yahuwah. We have confidence towards Yahuwah in our prayer life. It says, then whatsoever we ask, we know. It didn't even say believe. We know that we'll receive it of him because we keep his commandments. In other words, because we walk the walk and not just talk the talk. You can't cheat on confidence. You can't go to one of these prayer lines, the crooked preachers, and give them $100 and think he's going to give you confidence for the Most High. No, that has time has to be put in. It takes time and effort. It takes sincerity before the Most High. It takes spending time before him in sincerity. That's why they say those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. You better have a true spirit before the Most High. And when you ask, and you say, man, well, I'm not getting anywhere. Well, are you asking amiss? James 4:3. Are you asking for your greed, for your lust? Oh, I want a 2022 Mercedes Benz. That was kind of car. I don't want no other car. Don't give me no other car. That's all I want. And I want this girl, the stripper with this body that I like. I want her to be my wife. Women don't know nothing about the Most High. You like something about her. You want her to be your wife. You send up those kind of prayers to the Most High. You don't want no other car but a $150,000 Mercedes. You don't want no other woman but this woman that done went and got all kind of operations on her body, and she's stripping on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. And you want you to bless it. And that's your prayer life. That's what your prayer life entails. Okay. So James 4:3 was talking to you. He say you ask and you have not because you ask amiss that you may heap it on according to your lust. That's what you're asking for things. What lust ain't just only the body, it's lust of the eye. There's all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And those are the things that you're praying for. We got to have that confidence in the Most High. It takes that prayer life. It takes the fasting. These are tools at our disposal, how you build up your spiritual immune system. Because the attacks will come. Ima just said he will allow the attacks. The attacks will come, but you can be built up spiritually. And he said you can be able to withstand the fiery dart of the enemy. Fasting. We have to fast. says, when you fast, don't appear to men to fast. It says, but wash your face. In other words, appear to have a good, solemn, healthy look. So no one won't even know you're fasting. And say, fast in secret to your father. And he said, your father, which seeth in secret, he'll reward you openly. That's the only one. If you can get away with it, that should be the only one that you let know fasting. It's the Most High himself. Now, of course, those of us who marry, it may be necessary, of course, to tell your spouse or sometimes even to tell the people that's in your household, because they might want to cook you a big old breakfast that day. That's just how it works sometimes. They ain't cooked for you in weeks, but they might cook you a big old pancake breakfast that day. So you might want to do that to avoid that. And then they get mad at you. You tell you fast. So, but other than those necessities, for those reasons, you want to fast just unto the Most High. Praise to the Most High. And so you build up yourself in fasting and prayer, Bible reading. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto you, a workman.
Dang.
No need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of saying, working and need it not be ashamed, because you won't be ashamed. See, when the enemy try to put you to the test, you know, when someone needs that instant word in season, out of season, you be ready. You're studied up. All of these things will build up your spiritual immune system. Prayer, fasting, scripture, studying his word. And what's the other one? Scripture tells us, don't forget this one. It say, don't forget fellowship. Don't forget the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I know a lot of us live all over the place, especially in this awakening, because Yahuwah has awakened in different spots all over the world. But even in this country, here in the U.S., we're in different places. Some of us don't know another believer, and then there might be other believers kind of close by, but we may not know of them. So a lot of us are not getting the fellowship that we desire at this time. Now, some of us are very fortunate. They live in places where there's a lot of brews that, you know, are close by, close proximity. They get the fellowship. That's a beautiful thing. We're not jealous of you. We love that. We say, keep going. Send some of that spiritual energy this way. Pray for us that Yah will send more people our way, you know. And maybe we need to get up on our witnessing a little bit more and open our mouths a little bit more and tell others. Sometimes if you don't have fellowship, you got to make fellowship. How do you do it? You got to witness. You got to disciple. There may be some people closer to you than you think in your neighborhood that you have prepared their heart. They're waiting to hear this truth. I'm talking to myself on that one. You know, but if you can, don't forsake the fellowship. All of those things help build you up. Build you up, your spiritual immune system. You'll be ready to fight off these spiritual diseases, these spiritual attacks, these spiritual, ambushes. You'll be ready. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read this dream right quick. It should just take about 4 minutes. And I'm thanking my Isha for giving me this dream. And Imam, I'm going to bring you up. Okay, this dream, I'm glad she writes good. I wouldn't be able to read my own writing. This happened about 3 weeks ago. Okay, it was myself and three other black men, we know Israelite men, were sitting at a house in front of a garage. It was a city. Now, I'm thinking it was a city on the West Coast, like Oakland or San Francisco or something like that. We were sitting on, on a street off of the main street. So we were sitting, we was in a residential block, and there was a main street at the corner. But this street was one of the side streets. It wasn't the main avenue. It was off the main avenue on one of the side streets. Okay. me and these three guys seen some young, you know, black guys, young Israelite boys, a white pinstripe uniform walking in one direction, tossing the ball to each other. Now, I don't know if it was a baseball uniform or what, because it said pinstripe. Okay, but we saw these three boys, and they were playing ball, and I guess one of them was in a pinstripe suit. You know, dreams are kind of weird. I don't know why one was in a pinstripe suit playing ball. But they looked happy and at peace. Then later we saw a group of people that looked like refugees, like they had on fatigues, like army fatigue, you know, those green camouflage-looking things. They looked like refugees. And they weren't black people, but they weren't white either. But they looked like they were foreigners from another country. And they were running in the direction. They weren't walking. But they were running in the direction that three boys went to. Then later, seeing a large group of white people, Gentile people, running in the other direction. And some people, now this is black and white, there's another group, chasing the white people with needles, okay? So we saw a large group of Gentile people, Caucasians, they were running in a certain direction, and chasing them, right behind them, were a group of people, and this consisted of black and white people. They were chasing this group of white people, and they had syringes. They had needles in their hands, okay? Told us, and, you know, me and the other three guys I was with, something told us to run. We just felt that unction to run, even though they weren't, you know, look like looking at us or about to come after us. Something just told us to get out of here. Okay, so we didn't say anything to each other. Like I say, it was just something in us. We didn't look at things. Well, let's get out of here. We didn't look at each other. We just knew that it was time to run. And but when I started running, I looked. I mean, instantly I looked, and I didn't see the other three guys. It's like they disappeared. The three guys I was with, they disappeared. So I was running by myself. So I kept running, and I caught up with the crowd. People were, the people that I caught up with, they all looked like they were terrified. We was all running, remember, we were all running. And I didn't know where to go, so I just followed this group of people. They weren't the people that had the syringes in their hands, so I'm just following this another group of people that was just running. I'm running with them. I'm just the blind leading the blind, I guess. I'm just following these. These were the Gentile people. Okay. So we came to a fork in the road. Some of the crowd went straight. Others kind of veered off to the left, which was going down another street. So for some reason, I veered off. It looked safer. So I followed another small group of people that went left. So I started running towards a house. That kind of led us to a house, and someone yelled before I start going up to the yard, the front yard. Someone yelled and said not to go to that house, that I would be trapped. But it seemed like I was running too fast. It seemed like I was like a big truck. I couldn't slow down, and I had ran too fast, too far, so it was too late to turn around. So I ran to a fence because I saw people coming. I guess that's why they tried to warn me. I saw these people with the needle. I saw them coming. And I said, oh, my goodness, I should have listened to this guy. I am trapped. And so I ran to a fence. I was just trying to buy some time. I mean, a fence was not a smart thing to do, but I ran to a fence, and I started climbing the fence. And this was kind of a supernatural part because it was a metal fence. And it wasn't no platform on top of the fence. It was just, you know, nothing to stand on. But miraculously, I stood up on the fence. It was like a, you know, tightrope on the fence. And like I say, I didn't have nowhere to go. I was still trapped. There was people below me. There were people on me on the other alternative side. And the only thing I could see that could buy me a little more time, there was a tree, there was a big tree that was like in the middle of the street, but that tree was too far for me to jump. Again, that was my only hope, and this is a dream, so that was my only hope. I could say, I was thinking in my mind, I got to try to jump towards this tree. At least if I get on this tree, I could buy a little more time, stay alive. So, I mean, miraculously, now in the natural, I couldn't have made this. I couldn't have made the jump. But this was a dream. I jumped to the tree. That was not humanly possible. I jumped to the tree. So I prayed that Yahuwah would, while I was jumping to this tree, I thought about praying. I said, and I was still in the air, trying to jump from the fence to the tree. And I thought about it. I said, let me be able to fly. Because I thought once I got to this tree, I'm just going to be trapped, and these people are going to either shoot me or climb up and get me down. I say, ooh, this is my chance. The only way I'm going to escape is if I'm able to fly. And I pray that Yahuwah let me fly, or either make it to the tree or keep going. So I leaped on faith, and Yahuwah made a way for me to fly. And so I was flying. I was flying in the dream. And I bypassed the tree because I said, hey, I might as well just keep going. But I didn't really know where to go. But I know I couldn't go back on the ground because they were going to either stick me with that syringe or try to kill me or both. So suddenly my spirit says, I need to go in the forest. I used the word forest. I know I said forest. I need to go to the forest where the animals are. And that's what came to my spirit. I need to go to the forest where the animals are, you know. And that if I get there, I'll be safe. And so I started flying. I just flew. It was almost nighttime. It was right, the sun hadn't quite set yet, so it was still light. It was dark in the afternoon. I mean, it was about to get dark in the afternoon. So I didn't know where to go, but I knew I needed to make it to the wilderness. I mean, to the forest, I said. That's the word I used, to the forest, where the animals were. Okay, so I started flying, and I just went on a journey. I started flying. And next thing you know, I came to an area that started looking kind of wooded, a wooded area. And I saw, as I was getting closer, almost like I was a plane about to come in for a landing. I started slowing down, and I was starting to descend. And I saw a house. I saw a light. I could see the silhouette of a house. But the house was camouflaged. It had shrubbery around it. It had plant life around it, like it had bushes and shrubbery around it. So you could barely see this house. What let me see it, it looked like somebody had a light on. Somebody had a light on inside the house. And so when I saw that light, I could start barely making out the little outline of the house. And so it was a building, but it was shaped like a house. And so I start coming closer, and I started seeing these little animals playing around. I saw a squirrel, a raccoon, and it looked like they were at peace. They weren't trying to fight or bite each other. It looked like they were just playing around, and it was real peaceful, really peaceful. And I start about to land, and I start going towards that light in that house. Son told me, that's where you need to be. You need to go to that light. You need to go to that house. And I start, you know, like I say, I was like an airplane. I start going slower and descending, and I was just about to go and, you know, land right in front of that little house where those little animals were playing at. And right before I landed, I woke up. I woke up. So me and my Isha, we that dream. I woke up, and man, I told her to write it down. I told her about the dream, and she thought of writing it down. And we were praying about, I'm not a dream interpreter, so I mean, I'm not going to try to say I am. And we were praying and trying to figure out what was the interpretation of the dream. Now, some of you out there may have the gift to interpret dreams. That's beautiful. All of us have different gifts. I'm not saying I have the gift. I'm not saying my Isha has the gift. But we did pray. We earnestly prayed. And Yah revealed something to our spirit. Whether I'm right about this will have to be determined. You know, to be determined. I don't know. But this is what was confirmed to both of us, you know, to our spirits. Because we were like in harmony. We were in agreement that this is what we believe it is. Guys, those three black guys I was with early in the dream, I was talking with, sitting with, they represented three Malachim, or people say angels. The black boy represented the black boys who was walking by at first, and one of them had the pinstripe suit, represented the children of Israel. The first group represented the Gentiles that want to follow Israel, the first group, because we saw some white guys walk by after we saw the little black boys. The second group represented the rebellion who didn't take the jab. Now, this is just the rebellious, because there's a lot of people, they may not even be spiritual, but they're refusing to take the jab. See, they're not trying to turn to the Most High. They just look at themselves as patriotic people, believe in freedom. You know, some people say they're Trump followers, whatever, you know, but they believe in freedom, you know, their freedom. And they probably don't believe in our freedom, but they believe in their freedom. And they, you know, they don't want nobody imposing anything on them. So a lot of them say they will die before they take the jab. But they're not trying to, some of them aren't trying to know the Most High either. They just, you know, don't want to take the jab. So those people who are not spiritual, who do not love the Most High, but so-called patriotic people, and they're going to stand and fight before they take the jab, they are, look like, according to this dream, they're the ones that are going to be in trouble. See, they're not necessarily going to be protected under Psalm 91. Even though they're right and not wanting to take the jab, they don't want to do it for reasons of the flesh, their pride. You know, no one's going to tell them what to do. They're going to, you know, they believe in America and apple pie and red, white, and blue, and, you know, they don't believe in this communist. They're going to stand up to these people and maybe give their lives to it. So the government entities were after them. They were chasing them. And I was somehow got caught up and was following them for a while. I knew they weren't right. I tried to veer off, but I got stranded. I got stuck. And Yah let me eventually remember him. And remember, I have access to the Most High. And he will answer my prayer. And I prayed. I told him to deliver me. And he gave me the ability to fly to the wilderness, to the forest. And when I didn't even know the direction. But for some reason, he guided me right there, just like I had the radar. And when I got there, I felt the peace of the Most High. I knew it because it was peaceful. The animals were peaceful. Animals that necessarily wouldn't even get along. They were just playing in peace. Everything was just tranquil and peaceful. And I saw the little light in the house. I knew that was the place of safety. That's where the people of the Most High were at. He's going to hide his people in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the end of that dream. Now, watch how this dream line up with Psalms 91. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to turn it back over to Ima. This pretty much be all I'm going to have for tonight. This is the insurance policy that we mentioned earlier. Now, it's not for those who just talk the talk. This is for those who, for all that is within them, they try to walk the walk. Okay? And for those people, this is Yahuwah's insurance policy. And this represented that little place of safety, that little house in the dream. Psalms 91, King James Version says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the protection of the Almighty." Hallelujah. "I will say of Yahuwah, He is my refuge and my fortress." See, all this fortress, refuge, that's protection. You have a fortress for protection. He is my Elohim, my mighty one. In him will I trust. Surely, and he's going to go to work for it. Here's the promises. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. See, I was trapped. That's what the snare is. A snare is a trap. I was trapped, but he delivered me. See, I ran right into a dead end. I was trapped, but he delivered me in that dream. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I don't want to get too much on that one, but someone I heard this week, and I like their ministry. They said that noisome has something to do with this dead people, zombies or whatever. But that's I'll tell you about this person's ministry another time. But it was interesting. He'll deliver thee from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. We got to put our trust in the Most High. Bible said, trust in Yahuwah with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, intellect, knowledge, reason, and rationale. Don't lean to your inner knowledge. We got to trust in him. Cover thee with the feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth or his word shall be thy shield and buckler. If he said he'll do it, he'll do it, okay? It says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, okay? Is a virus something you can see with the naked eye? Now, I can see it with a microscope, but can you see it with the naked eye? No. So it's like in darkness. The pestilence that's going around in darkness. It says, nor for the destruction that wasted that noonday. See, and here's where you don't worry about other people, what's happening to other people, because what's happening to other people is not going to be what happens to you if you're in his will. It says, 1,000 may fall, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's why I gave the Most High all the praise that he has not let anything from this pandemic hit our household. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, we're going to see the reward of the wicked, but we ain't going to participate. He didn't say we're going to participate. He said we're only going to see it with our eyes. We're going to view it. It says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold the reward of the wicked. It says, because thou hast made Yahuwah, see, here's a condition. Here's what we did. Because thou hast made Yahuwah, which is our refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You were serious in your walk with the Most High. You were serious. You went about your business, building up your relationship with the Most High. Building up your prayer life, which entails building up your prayer life, fasting, praying, seeking his face, fellowshipping with the Most High's people is often a chance that you get. Meditating, as Imam Ahaya said earlier, meditating on it. That's what you say, meditate day and night. See, these are tools, these are resources at our disposal. If you want to build up your spiritual immune system, you have to engage in these things. See, because you will be tested. Your walk will be put to the test. He said, because thou hast made the Most High your habitation. Therefore, there shall no evil befall thee. Because we made the Most High habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. It's not going to come nigh us. Neither shall any plague. Ain't that what they call this thing? Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Some people are getting afraid, worried about zombie apocalypse coming. He says no plague is going to come nigh our dwelling. Instead of worrying about a zombie apocalypse, just be concerned about your walk with the Most High, your spiritual immune system. Is it built up? Is your relationship with the Most High built up? Is it fortified? I promise you, take care of that, Yahuwah will take care of the rest. He'll take care of any so-called zombies or anything else. It says, for he shall give his angels, his malachim, charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So you think a zombie could get by one of Yahuwah's malachim? I think not. So that's the insurance policy. Those are the terms and conditions set forth in that plan, that policy. And who's entitled to that policy? Yahuwah's people. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Those who keep their walk pure before the Most High. Pure before the Most High. I said last week, I try to walk in a perpetual state of repentance. Whether I think I sinned or not, I offer it. Yahuwah, if there's any sin in me, any wrong in me, forgive me. Keep your conscience clean before the Most High. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Because we will surely be tested. But if your spiritual immune system is built up, you will pass the test. You will come out all right. Hallelujah. Come on up, Imam.
All right. Toda, Elder Toda. Hallelujah on that. And that was a precious dream that you had. And you know, it is perfect for us to write down our dreams because they are like little scripture books before it's over. So write them down, keep them in a folder, date them, all of that, because if it's not exactly revealed to you completely, then you will see the completion of that
vision. Hallelujah.
You will see it. But right now, you do have a lot of it figured out, and we'll work on the rest of the story. So,
hallelujah
for that. Hallelujah for that message tonight to our people. And that's what we do here. We try to give you something that you need every time. So in that effect, I'm going to go ahead and play the song to end the show, and we'll be right with you.
He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto Yah, He is my refuge, my fortress, my power, and Him will I trust.
Open your eyes, realize the evil's in disguise. System teaches lies, trust the power of the Most High. It's either do or die in these last days. They hide the truth, masquerade, got you as a slave. But if you want it, go get it, we will give it, we with it. Israelite heritage, Yahweh and up in chosen nation. And these are the days that we facing. Trust the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Yeah, power of God. Living in it, yeah, power of God. We live in these last days, we gotta trust, yeah, power of God. Living in it, living in it. He's the power, omnipotent, full of esteem and his strength. Controls all things, even Satan bows in the midst of him. Who could stand against him? Father Yah allows the wicked to stand for time, but the time is almost up. Aha! They refuse to repent cause they hate us. Aha! How about we follow the one who made us? Aha! He raised the Messiah the third day from the grave. Promise to never ever leave us Thursday. Messianic keep the commandments, but that they hate us. Don't follow politicians, religious. They leave you stranded for the one who led us out of Egypt. Who through Moses gave us the way of life, the commandments.
Right.
Who through Joshua, Israel, conquered the land of Canaan. The one who gave the apostle power and understanding. The one to this very day gives us the truth of salvation through Yahushua Messiah. Not Jesus, they lying. The truth is crying out.
Yeah, power of God. We live in these last days, we gotta trust. Yeah, power of God. We living in it, yeah.
living in it. Make it hot, so it's time to get it right, yeah. No excuse for you, the truth is right here. Yah's merciful, he sees what we face in the trials and tribulations and how Satan wanna take us out. But we trust in the power, yes we call on the power. Father Yah is the power, Babylon 1 hour. And yes, Yah's love, but the wicked he will judge. That's why the commandments we never depart from. He's the greatest power in the universe, created the seas, the heavens and the earth. It's truth to Israel first, then to the nations, cause God is salvation. Trust the power of the Most High, yeah. Trust the power of the Most High, yeah. Trust the power of the Most High, yeah. Trust the power of the Most High.
All right, that's it for tonight. Thank you for listening.
All right. Shalom, shalom, family.
All right. Thank you. Shalom, shalom, family.